Well, let me say thanks again to George for his warm welcome to Pat and myself. And it is indeed lovely to be back again with you for my, I think, my annual visit. It's good, and good to see you all. I'm going to say all the old faces, but you're not all that old. But it's good to see you anyway, and to be sharing in the service with you here this morning again. And thank you, too, for the band playing for us as well. If you have a Bible handy there, I'm going to read to you from Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. There you are. It's on the machine, and you're able to see it there if you haven't got a Bible. You need to do that. This is God's word. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Ending there at verse 17, and we pray that God will bless this public reading of his word. Let me pray with you just for a moment. Father, here we are again. We turn our attention to your word, and we need help to be able to explain it and to be able to talk about it, and so that people will understand, Lord, exactly what it's saying. And thank you for that. And thank you again, loving Father God, for your presence with us. And we just commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that we need to use our imagination to get a full picture here of what's going on. We read there, if you look in verse 13, maybe keep that on the screen there. It would be good to do that, Michael, if you could do that here. It says there, once again, we see there on the screen. This is an ongoing ministry, if you can understand that. Jesus has been going out probably on a daily basis into this area of Galilee to preach the gospel. He's been coming to this area probably for several days now. Just going in there, there's probably some sort of like an amphitheater there, and people come in from all around the area. They gather in, and there are large crowds. We're told in some places here in Mark's gospel that there are thousands of people following him. So you get a picture that, and here they come in this particular area, maybe an amphitheater, and they're able to hear very clearly as Jesus speaks to them. Nothing like this has ever happened in living memory in this area ever before. Nothing like this has ever been, they've never seen nothing like this. In the spiritual realm, the devil's been holding sway here for years. But God is beginning to do something now. And here's what's happening. And let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1. It says this: "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light is dawned." This is all the fulfillment of Scripture. Something that was prophesied hundreds of years before, that people living in Galilee, that's where the lake was, and would see a great light. Now look, I tell you, you don't need to be a brain box to understand this. There's something tremendously attractive about light, especially when you're in darkness. And here is someone coming with authority and with power and preaching this glorious gospel. And the light is beginning to shine, and people are responding to it. Still happening in our world today. People are going out into dark areas with this gospel, and the light is shining. There's an attraction about it. It's happening in our own land. I do a bit of work there in Uri and in the Catholic estates in Uri. And you know, it's a light going in. It's people who have never heard a real, true presentation of the gospel, hearing this message for the first time. Something tremendously attractive about it. As the light begins to shine, people are attracted to it and drawn to it. And Jesus is the light shining in this dark place and seeking to break the devil's grip on the hearts and lives of people. That's what the gospel does now, by the way. It breaks the devil's grip on the hearts and lives of people. You know, you're here this morning and you're not converted. But you're still in your sins. And I tell you, the devil has a grip on you. Has a hold on you. Wants to take you to damnation. But Jesus Christ has come to deliver you. That's what the gospel's all about. And this is the reality of what's happening here in this whole business as well. And the words that he speaks as he comes along are meaningful to the people who are drawn to follow him. And this crowd, by the way, that's following after him, is no different than any crowd anywhere at any time. Look, can I say this to you this morning, that years change nothing. Centuries change nothing. People 2,000 years ago are just the same as people today. Although we might think we're a wee bit more sophisticated and a bit more technological and stuff like that there, but you know, basically we're no different. The same fears are in us as that was in them. This is just exactly how we are. People feel a sense of lostness, a sense of loneliness. There are those who feel worthless, those who feel that they don't matter. That's how people feel. They feel they don't matter. But when they listen to this man, they feel that they do matter. That's how they feel. He makes them feel that way. He makes them feel that they matter a great deal. You see, we live in a world today and where there are loads of people, and especially young people, who think they don't matter. I was speaking to a policeman in Lisburn area, and what he told me, that in a 2-week period, 9 people committed suicide. There were 9 people, young people, who felt that they didn't matter, felt that they weren't important. And they didn't matter. There are those who have got questions about life, but no answers. At least no answers that make sense to them. That's the reality. You know, in my tenure of my work in Uri, I'll speak more about that tonight, but my work in Uri, knocking doors and around Derrybeg there and Ardcarn and Meadows and that area, and meet people there, you know, young people, who openly say to me, look, I've had 4 attempts at taking my own life. And I said, would you like to read a Bible? Would you like to hear what the Bible has to say? And they say, yes, I'd love to have a Bible. Give a Bible. And another wee girl, a lovely wee girl, been in a mental institution, several attempts to commit suicide. And feel that they don't matter. And here is this glorious gospel that tells people, look, you do matter. God loves you and he gave his son to die for you. As far as he's concerned, you're the most important person in the whole world. That's what the gospel tells us, and we need to understand that. And you see, here's the reality, that Jesus answers the hard questions. And that sets him apart from everybody else. In this world, he answers all the hard questions. But you know, in the middle of all this, there's a crowd that hates him as well. If you look at chapter 3 there, if you've got a Bible, and verse 6, then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. You can see that. And here's a man, as he gives life, there are others there who want to take his life from him. But in verse 14, it comes down to an individual. And friends, this morning, let me tell you, it always comes down to an individual. It always comes down to you. It always comes down to me. Always comes down to an individual. And we need to understand that. We're introduced to this man called Levi. As he walked along, he saw Levi. And we're introduced to this man. If you read in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 9 to 13, we have the same story there. And we learn there that his name's Matthew. But he's called Matthew there. But here he's called Levi. And it's worth giving some thought just to that name for a moment. But I think it's tremendously important. Levi was the third son of Jacob. Way back in the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob's third son was called Levi. And Levi became responsible as the priestly tribe in Israel. That was their responsibility. They were responsible for the tabernacle and looking after all the spiritual things in the tabernacle. When the land was divided up, they were given no land. All the other tribes got portions of land. Levi got none. Levi was to be supported by the other 11 tribes. They were to give a tenth of what they were to get to Levi to support them. That's what the Bible tells us. Wonderful thing. So here is Levi, and his father has put this name on him. And what he wants his son to honor God. That's what he wants. He puts this name on him and he wants Levi to honor God. But let me tell you, Levi doesn't honor God. Not only does he not honor God, he doesn't honor his parents either. He simply goes his own way and does his own thing. And he becomes a lowlife in Israel. That's what you see here. He does what no self-respecting Jew would ever do. But listen, I tell you. Look, when you start to go down, there's no distance. There's no telling the distance you can go. Do you know that? When you start to fall away, there's no distance. There's no telling where you can end up. And I can tell you, this wee boy, this man, when he was a wee boy, had no intention of ending up here. He hadn't now. You know, common sense would tell you that. He never intended to end up here. But here he is now, a low life in Israel, doing what no self-respecting Jew would ever do. He becomes a collector of taxes for the Roman occupying army in his land, taking money of his own people to give to the Roman army. You know, just imagine that for a moment. At this point in his life, he is not able to go to the synagogue. Not able to go to the temple. He's cut off from the people of God. He can't give evidence in court. He's not allowed to do that because of where he's ended up. He's numbered with the prostitutes and all that, the vile sinners in Israel. He's numbered among them. All those who have placed themselves outside the law of God by their actions, Levi's among them. The great news is that Jesus is passing this way. That's the wonderful good news in the story. Jesus is passing this way. And day after day, Levi is sitting here at the receipt of custom, whatever he's doing. And he's listening. And God is beginning to speak. Friends, I tell you, it's the most wonderful thing when God begins to disturb you. And when you feel your heart moved and your mind moved to think beyond yourself to somebody who has done something wonderful for you. And here's a part to be able to change things in your life. And Levi finds himself very, very powerfully drawn to this itinerant preacher who has come down from Nazareth. Wonderful, wonderful story. And you see, here's the wonderful thing about this story is, and I think it's a tremendous thing. Jesus already knew what Levi was. Knew that. There's nothing hidden from him. He knew exactly what Levi was. But here's the other thing too. He knew what Levi could become. He knows what you are this morning. Whatever your past has been like, he knows all about that. But he knows what you can become as well. Greatest news ever. And here's somebody who can deal with the past. And maybe like Levi's parents, somebody put a good name on you, and hoping that someday that you would grow up and that you would honor the name that was put on you, that you would honor God and honor your parents as well. But you didn't do that. Haven't done that. And here you are this morning, still in your sin, far from God and far away. Because here's the reality. The reality is that all of us this morning are outsiders. We're outsiders not by our deeds, but by our sin. That's how we're born. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Boy, I tell you, we couldn't walk straight if we tried. Not able to do that. There's a bias within every one of us, and we're bending away all the time from God. That's the reality here. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity, twisted. Not able to do anything. And only God can change that. And we can only imagine the thoughts that are going through Levi's mind. Here he is, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he has made a lot of money. Wealthy man now. This was a thing he dreamed of as a young man. You know, get out there into the world and make a lot of money. The world's your oyster. If you can make a lot of money. But it didn't work out that way. It didn't work out like that. He had the riches okay. He had plenty of money okay. But felt empty inside. The money couldn't fill the emptiness that he felt inside his heart. Wasn't able to do that. Something missing. And friends, there's always something missing. You can go through life and you can search for this, that, or the other thing. You can stuff all sorts of stuff into your life, but there's something missing. And no matter how hard you try, you're not able to fill it. You just look out in the world there and, you know, just I noticed this week there on the news, some family, I think in Wales, won 61 million on that Euro Lotto thing. And I said to Pat, you know, God help them. God only knows where they're going to end up with it all. But I'll tell you, it'll not fulfill the promises that they think that it has made to them. You know, it's very interesting. There was a notice on a billboard on a poster in Downpatrick Presbyterian Church. And it said this on it. Some people are so poor that all they have is money. And that's the reality. That's the reality of what it's like. And this was not how it was meant to be, as far as Levi was concerned. It wasn't meant to be like this, but that is how it was in this whole business. But Jesus spoke of a different way of living. Jesus spoke of a different life. Look, I don't know how you are this morning, but you know, we're living in a world of people who would love to be able to change. People who would just love to be finished with the past and be able to get a new start in life. You ever ask, talk, if you ever get into good conversation with people, and I do this in my work, and I say to them, would you ever love to get started again? And they say, yeah, would. Love to start again. Those are people who wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have tried that. Lots of people would love to be able to get rid of the past and start again. That's the reality, and not able to do that. But Jesus spoke of a different way of living, having treasure that wasn't measured by how much money you had or whatever things you had. It wasn't measured by that. But the treasure of sins forgiven, of having this promise of a new beginning that would lead to eternal life and to a home in heaven. How Levi longed for a new start. How he just wished he could have a new start. How he longed to leave the past behind. He said, I'm convinced this morning, friends, that the only way to do that is to start again with Jesus. You can't do it outside of that. But you can start again with Jesus. The Bible tells us very clearly that if any man be in Christ or woman be in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's a new beginning. Wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. And then Jesus spoke to Levi. And he spoke to him very simply. There was no long appeal or anything else about it. Two words. Follow me. Can't get anything clearer or plainer than that. And Levi just got up and he left it all. I'll tell you what, I'm convinced this morning that he was glad to leave it all. He was glad to get up and just walk away from it. Leaving the past behind. And walking out into your new life. I tell you, there's something desperately clean and good about that. And let me tell you, Levi becomes a new man. He becomes a new son to his father and mother. If he's married, he becomes a new husband to his wife. If he's got children, he becomes a new father to them. What a wonderful thing. For children to look and say, we've got a new dad. A wife to say, I got a new husband. This is God at work in this whole business. Wonderful, wonderful thing. You see, let me tell you, it's the power of the gospel. It's not a religion. It's not being a Presbyterian or a Protestant. It's the power of the gospel that can change you. And the only thing that can change you. And what did he do as a result of meeting Jesus? Well, the result was he held a party. He had a bit of a big bash. We're told there in verse 15 that He had a party in the house, and while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. He brought them along and he brought them into the house, and let me tell you what he did. He put Jesus at the center. Jesus was at the center of it all. He brought all his friends in, and here's what he thought to himself. Lovely thought, you know. He thought, if Jesus can change me, boy, he can change them as well. If he can do this for me, and what I was, and where I came from, then he could do it for them. The prostitutes and the tax collectors and all the others. He can do it for them. The power of the gospel. That's what he believed with all of his heart. This is what God can do. He can do it for them. See, this salvation is for everybody. There is nobody excluded. And when you begin to see that and understand that, then you tell it to people. You begin to tell it to other people and begin to share it with other people. You think, if God can do this for me, well, then he can do it for them as well. That there's nobody beyond the reach of God. That's what he's able to do. It's for everyone. And all these people are here. But the hardest people to reach in it all, and you can see this in the story as well. The hardest people to reach, and it's the same, by the way, right down through all the years, right down to this very day that we're living in. Nothing has changed. The hardest people to reach are the religious people. They're the hardest people to reach. As far as they were concerned, they didn't need anyone to deal with their sin. You need to see that. They didn't need anybody to deal with their sin. You see, in their own estimation, they didn't have any sin. They went to church every week. They didn't frequent the places that some of these people frequented. They didn't do things that some of these people did. They were good people. That's how they saw themselves. They couldn't identify with the sinners. They weren't able to do that. They weren't able to identify with them. As far as they were concerned, this gospel was for tax collectors and for prostitutes and people like that, but it wasn't for them. Hope you're not like that. Boy, I tell you, wouldn't like to think that you've been sitting here for years and years thinking you were good enough. I wouldn't like to think that. And that you're never moved by the fact that Jesus died for you. Because it was your sin that put him on a cross. And they thought they didn't need it. And you see, it's common sense that you won't go to a doctor unless you're sick. I'll tell you something this morning. If you go to a doctor and you're not sick, there's something wrong with your head. Isn't that right? And you're sitting in a doctor's surgery and somebody said to you, "Why are you here?" And you said, "Well, I'm only here for the crack." They think they would get somebody in a white coat to come for you. See, you wouldn't do it. You just wouldn't do it. And I tell you something, you won't come to Jesus unless you know that you're a sinner. Unless you know that you need forgiveness and you need a new life, a new start. You won't come unless you understand that. And this is tremendously important. Don't know where you stand in it all this morning, but this is tremendously important. I wonder, are you aware of your need to turn to Jesus in repentance? That means just to turn completely around. Going one direction to turn. Admit that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. And that Jesus is the only Savior. He can come and he can change your life. And God just simply says to you this morning, look, It's not a big thing. He says, follow me. Follow me. And that means leaving the past behind. It might mean leaving some of your old friends behind. But it means turning and following him. And I'll tell you something you'll never regret. I wonder, would you have the courage that Levi had to do that and then to invite his friends in, to bring them to the party, get them in there, thinking that God might be able to help them as well, to make all the difference in all the world to some of them. Let me tell you, can make all the difference in the world to you as well. Just a blessing. Be able to bring people in who looked a million miles away. Bring them in and allow God to speak into their lives and into their hearts. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you again this morning for the privilege of bowing before you. Thank you again for your word. Thank you again for Jesus. Thank you again for this, Lord, this man from God who came into the world to set us free from our sin. Father, thank you for this wonderful thing that he was able to do. And Father, we just pray, Lord, again, very specially today, that just as Levi responded, that others will respond as well and turn their hearts and follow Jesus and trust in him. Father, we thank you again for your love and for your goodness to us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.